God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and he is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the doctrine of the rapture, and we're on page 4, and we're in Jeremiah 50. The other thing we have to be sure of is that we're in fellowship. This is your responsibility and yours alone. Your benefit from the intake of the Word of God is directly related to your relationship to God the Holy Spirit that has been given to believers to lead us into truth and to reveal to us future things, of which we are reviewing now for some, and for some, obviously, this is the first time they've heard of these things. So anyway, all can benefit if all are in fellowship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we again assemble ourselves together of our own free will in this local church so that we can continue to grow in grace and knowledge through all of the changes and difficulties that we are confronted with as believers. We thank you that you have promises for these things and provision for those who trust in you. Be with us now in our study in Christ's name. Amen. The topic, obviously, of the United States and prophecy would, by its very nature, especially among American Christians, generate a certain amount of hostility. But if you believe that we are at the end of the dispensation, and based on other information that has been given to, in other words, God has been setting the table and getting everything at that optimum moment when the tribulation can be unleashed on humanity. And therefore, and a point will be brought up later, that God never puts believers, informed believers, in a situation, certainly one of this momentous nature, and to be oblivious to its approach. Never has God brought some big event on humanity without giving them a heads up and some chronological information so that they can know. There has been in Christendom, even among those who are premillennial, predispensational rapturists, there has been among them the can't know crowd. You just can't know. Jesus could have come 2 days after Pentecost, or 2 years, or 200, or we don't know. That's their position. And that there is no intervening prophecies or things that have to take place for Christ to return, which is absolutely, you will find it next to the word absurd in the dictionary. It is totally absurd. Things have to be in place. Events have to occur before certain events can transpire. God just doesn't pull this out of a hat. Everything has to be in place. And certainly if you're a dispensationalist, now if any of these things have dropped by on the way, I can't help you. You know, you ought to go elsewhere. But if you're a dispensationalist, then you believe that we are the church, that we are a special dispensation. While there are things that remain true with regard to all the dispensations, like how are you saved? How do you get in fellowship? How do you grow up? How do you pass tests? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There is a difference. Be like in one place going in a different room where there are certain things the same and others are different. The ritual code is completely different in this dispensation. It's minimalist. Lord's table and baptism. Old Testament is just everywhere. All kinds of stuff. Dietary code. On and on and on it goes. The age of Israel has been interrupted due to the fact, God anticipated this, that corporate Judaism would drop the ball. Bad, way bad. They wouldn't even get their Messiah right and salvation right. Now that is as bad as it gets. Not to mention all the other effects from that. So while the Lord appealed to the people, presented himself, and would have regathered them and restored them to glory had they turned away from their apostasy, that didn't happen. And so in one of his parables, he's giving the kingdom to others. And that's where we Gentiles come to the forefront. And we have as illustrious or more illustrious position than any have had thus far. It does not mean individual Jews can't step in. They obviously can. All they got to do is become believers in Jesus Christ and be positive if they want to go beyond that. So all this is to say that it would be ridiculous. And there are fundamentalists out there that believe we're in the end times. By end times, they mean very close to the end. And it would be, therefore, almost unthinkable to hold to a position like a big fundamentalist prophecy guy, Hal Lindsey, who said, I just don't see the U.S. in prophecy. He doesn't see it. He has the same Bible I have. He's been studying this stuff forever. Well, where is he going to put, and we'll flip over to it perhaps, Revelation 17 and 18. What are they? Now, those who have obviously looked at Jeremiah 50 and 51, for instance, have recognized that the fall of the Babylon under discussion here, it no way happened to ancient Babylon. No way. You can just go to history books and figure that out. But you can go to the Bible too. The fall of historical or ancient Babylon, the Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, that Babylon did not fall in some fiery holocaust. Clearly, it did not. You can read the book of Daniel and see that that is indeed the case. Daniel in the party hall, the banquet hall of the final king of Babylon, and the handwriting on the wall, and in his interpretation of it, and his announcement, because no one else could. They're having this big party, you know, and I mean drinking. All the usual vices, everything's going crazy. The degenerate ruler of the last ruler of Babylon, he decides it'd be a good idea to go into the treasury and haul out the sacred vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of Babylon, out of Israel when this temple was sacked, first temple. Thought that'd be a good idea, and toast to his gods. In other words, adding insult to injury. It's just one more degenerate act, and a final degenerate act. And the handwriting on the wall, and that strange words there that nobody could interpret, and everyone sobered up real quick. Because it's like a hand, just not connected to anything, writing in the stone. That'd get your attention. And they're all running around in little circles trying to figure out what it meant. And somebody made inquiry and said, Daniel, as an elderly man at this time, had really kind of been put into mothballs, shoved off in a corner. He wasn't in the limelight anymore. He was an advisor and associated with great Nebuchadnezzar. But as things went downhill, they didn't need his voice. They kept him around, you know, but he was isolated. He gets to do one more thing in the Babylonian Empire. He gets to walk in, and the ruler there, he wants to give him rewards. He said, keep your rewards. I don't want anything from you, but I'll tell you what that says. Basically, the bottom line was, you're toast. This is it. Your kingdom's passing away, and another one is going to step in its place. And it's those Medes and those Persians outside your gates. And he walked out. And they were, and while he was doing his thing, Cyrus's commandos were coming on in. And right, they knew right where to go. And they executed everybody in that party house. And announced a new kingdom the next day. Everything's cool. Go about your business. That doesn't sound like burning to the ground, does it? Sacking the place and hauling everybody into some kind of captivity. The Jews were in Babylon and they had the Jewish quarter. They've been there for 70 years. They'd been there for all this time, moving on to 70 years. And of course they spared Daniel, even though he was in the elite class. They spared his life. And they killed off all of the top ranker. They did just, in other words, they decapitated the thing. It'd be like taking out all the high people in the United States. All the muckety mucks. And starting over. So the Babylon of Jeremiah 50 and 51 in no way fixes it. And I'll say one more thing. This does not refer to the world. Some of them backed off and said, well, it's just a reference to what's going to happen to the world in the tribulation. Really? Nobody's left? Everybody's destroyed? It's a place where no one can pass through anymore? That does not fit. So we throw that aside. Babylon is not a figure for the entire world. Babylon is a figure for the last one. As you know, we have a sister church, a church like-minded, on Long Island, New York, and their actual neighborhood is West Babylon. West Babylon. I wonder why they named it that. They did name it that. West Babylon. I always thought that was kind of ironic, that we would be a part of and have a hand in the founding of this doctrinal church on Long Island in West Babylon versus one of the other areas up there. So that's pretty cool, I think, anyway. Now we'll pick up in Jeremiah, and I will just make brief comments. I will not explain everything. I can't. There are other terms that are going to be used here that might confuse you. You'll have to seek out the notes on it. But the subject continues with Babylon under various designations. America's had different designations. United States, America, etc. Against the land of, verse 21, Marathaim, go up against it and against the inhabitants, that's citizens of Pekah. Slay and utterly destroy them. This is an order from heaven. Slay and utterly destroy them, declares Yahweh, and do according to all that I have commanded you. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the entity that will do it. He's willing something to happen. The noise of battle is in the land. A great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth. That refers to America with its technology of being able to drop nuclear weapons, bunker busters, whatever. These powerful, powerful weapons. It's called the hammer of the whole earth. How has the hammer of the whole earth has been cut off and broken? How Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. A nation among the nations. the nations, when this occurs, our land will be an object of horror. There'll be various reactions to this in the people in the world. Might run across some more of them. I set a snare for you. That's a trap. I set a snare for you. And you were also caught, O Babylon. While you yourself were not aware, you have been found and also seized because you engaged in conflict with Yahweh. The Lord has opened His armory. All the weapons on the earth at any time are owned by God. You know, we've heard He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's a figure for He owns all this stuff. Everything out here, wherever you see it, see a car lot with 1,000 cars, He owns them. All big neighborhoods, cities, on and on and on. Everything that's out there and around, God owns it. And He can take it and do with it as He pleases. So whatever I have, you know, I look at it as a kind of on loan from God. I say it's mine, but ultimately He has authority over it to dispose of it as He sees fit. Others don't. He does. Your very person is not yours. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. You can act like it, but you aren't. You are not your own. You are His possession. The Lord has opened His armory and has brought forth the weapons of His indignation. For it is the work of the Lord of the armies in the land of the Chaldeans. I explained Chaldeans earlier. Come to her from the furthest border. See, consistent with a northern, faraway place, northern latitudes. Open up her barns. Emphasis on our agricultural system and all the stuff that is stored in granaries and whatever, all this process that we take for granted every day we go to the grocery store. Where'd that all come from? Well, manufacturing companies, they ultimately get it from the agricultural sector. Open up her barns. Pile her up like heaps and utterly destroy her. Let nothing be left to her. These themes, you'll see the recurring themes here. Put all her young bulls to the sword. And that's not referring to four-legged animals here. It's figurative for strong men like athletes or strong military types. They're called strong bulls. They won't escape. Put all her young bulls to the sword. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe be upon them, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. Back up. A description of the destruction. Back up. There is a sound of fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon. People exiting to declare in Zion. That would be Jewish. We'd call them expatriates. Boiling out of here before the proverbial balloon goes up. To declare in Zion, their mouths are working because they've become believers. They know the times. And they got this together really quick. From the point of the rapture forward, things started popping and they started figuring things out. You know, if people want to, they can step from knowing nothing to absolutely getting stuff together so fast you can't believe it. Pressure, various factors, and the quality of the people involved. Because in the day of the Lord, God will remove blindness from Jacob. And Jews in Israel and outside Israel will begin to turn to Christ. And if it's only one out of three, that's a lot. That's a lot of Jewish people. With however many million are right now in America. The largest number of Jews collected anywhere in any nation currently is the United States. There's various numbers of them elsewhere. Some of them have left lands to come to Israel due to pressures and problems in those lands. The Lord is behind that too, as you know. He is regathering what He scattered. He scattered His flock over all the hills and mountains. He's bringing them back. And we have seen it in our day. Operation Magic Carpet brought a bunch of them out of Ethiopia, Yemen, Russia. I ran into an American Jewish woman, a waitress from Colorado, who for whatever reasons moved there, gave up her dress shop, and there she was. Living in a kibbutz and making extra money there in that restaurant on the Sea of Galilee. Spoke perfectly good American English. It was real pleasant. God showed me these things. I saw the Ethiopian Jews. They were up in kind of a drab place, trailer park. But all the women were tall and sleek and dressed colorfully. They weren't freaky looking. Nice, beautiful, long dresses. Walked like straight up like this. Ethiopians. They came out of Ethiopia. They have racial problems. But in Israel, you'll see European Jews. You'll see Asian Jews. We went to an Asian restaurant, and it was Asian Jews. They looked very much Asian. And they could talk Asian, but they could also talk Hebrew. Because when regular white-looking Hebrews came in, they just chattered like they were buddies. As a result of their dispersion among the nations, they have taken on some of the genetics and some of the cultural things. There was Spanish Jews. I ran into Spanish Jews. And they weren't Catholics. They were Jews. Saw them. South American Jews. Argentine. Argentine restaurant. French. It's just funny. I mean, that's what you see over there. You know, I mean, it's God bringing His people home. Even though they're in unbelief, He said that's the way it would be. He said, I'm not bringing you back for any righteousness in you. I'm bringing you back because I am tired. An anthropopathism for God, being tired of something. I am tired of the talk in the nations, the bad mouthing of the land of promise. No, that's the Palestinian land over here, and on and on and on and on and on. As if man could offset what God has set up with Abraham and has promised. So I'm tired of it. Whether it's from a theologian, whoever it is, some dummy in the street, whoever, and all the bad mouthing of the Jewish nation over there, even among some fundamentalists. Well, they're jackasses. They don't know their scripture. Israel will return in unbelief. And they're not through doing bad stuff yet either. they're gonna make a pact with the Antichrist. That's pretty bad. Not all of them. They'll be polarized. It'll be a polarization. Doctrine polarizes people. I guess you've noticed that. You're not on the right side of doctrine. You're on the other side. And if you're polarized to the other side, that's what you are. To declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance for His temple. I presume that's the heavenly temple, but I have questions. I'll put question marks under a line. Doesn't mean the whole thing is problematic. Summon many against Babylon, all those who bend the bow. There's your long-range thermonuclear missiles, whether launched from the ground, from an airplane, or from a submarine. I keep getting reports of some of the new development that Russia has in their nuclear arsenal and other kinds of tactical weapons they've been coming up with. You know, this is kind of funny because when I taught this for the first time back in 1976, we had the big bad Soviet Union, right? and all that was going on, and Vietnam was going on, and all the rest of it. And then in the interim in there, Russia just kind of imploded, and everything looked bad, and it looked like they could take on anybody. And the fall, the quote, fall of the Soviet Union. And they were completely an economic and otherwise basket case. And along comes a fellow named Putin. And that thing is just like skyrocketing up. Like God raises up a Cyrus or a Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, the West hates his guts. Doesn't change. God raised him up. He raises people up. He takes people. Oh, he was a member of the Communist Party. Well, sure he was. But so what? He got in all kinds of trouble for saying we weren't going to participate in some of the gay stuff at these Olympic type games. That set up a deal. Banned some nasty rock group that I can't even name it from the pulpit. That girls would call themselves that. Jeez. You know, no objection to that. We're babbling. We embrace the unembraceable. Encamp against her on every side. Let there be no escape. Repay her according to her work, according to all that she has done, so do to her. Well, you think American foreign policy and everything is just wonderful? You need to reread this. For she has become arrogant against the Lord. I'll give you a quick example of national arrogance. Various people, like the previous president and others, you know what they say? We are the indispensable nation. We are the indispensable. Now, that's about as arrogant as you can get. Be like me saying I'm indispensable. You can, I'm irreplaceable. You get rid of me or else, you know what. No. No. It's arrogant. It's a definition of arrogance. Indispensable. Light to the world. The hope of the world. Well, if this is the hope of the world, the world's had it. We could have been, but we're not. We could have minded our own business, set an example to the nations, but now we got hijacked by the international banking cartel and all the evil that's flown out of that. Against the Holy One of Israel, therefore her young men will fall in her streets, and all her men of war will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord. Behold, I'm against you, O arrogant one, declares the Lord of the armies. For your day has come, the time when I'll punish you. The arrogant one will stumble and fall. A lot of arrogant people out there. With no one to raise him up. You know, people kind of tend to help people today if they get in trouble. It's going to be, no, we're all just scrambling for our existence. Like when they had that false alarm over in Hawaii and people were jumping out of their cars and running around like chickens with their heads cut off. I asked myself, how do you get a false alarm? And how does one guy have a button right there? This is crazy. But that's off subject. With no one to raise him up, and I will set fire to his cities. And it will devour all his environs. That's outside the city. That's the rural. Or neighborhoods. Main cities. We've got main cities. They'll all be targeted. And all it takes is one of those with heads shooting off of one rocket. Oh, and they got some killer ones now. They got a new one called Satan 2. That's what they call it. Thus says the Lord of the armies, the sons of Israel are oppressed, and the sons of Judah as well. And all who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of the armies is his name. He will vigorously plead their case so that he may bring rest to the earth and turmoil to the citizens of Babylon. Out of this will come rest. That's called the millennium.
And the nations will be at peace from all this international mess that's been going on, that's pushed every day. It'll be over. And people can live their lives without worrying and without fear and without all this coming down on them. But we've got to work our way through the tribulation. And this is the event that sparks the biggest part of it. The sword against the Chaldeans, declares the Lord, against the inhabitants of Babylon, against the officials and her wise men. A sword against the oracle priests, that's the religious crowd, and they will become fools. A sword against the mighty men, and they will be shattered. A sword against their horses and against their chariots. Back in the day, they had horse-driven vehicles. Now ours are run by gasoline, and we still speak of our engines as 410 horsepower. It's kind of funny. And we import these things in and make some, and so it's against a big part of our economy is selling vehicles and all that. And against all the foreigners who are in the midst of her. Oh, I got that. There's that one. There are people in this country from all over the place. And this has been about the big thing, hasn't it? About immigration. And bringing all these people in, you're not loving. And if you're not willing to let these poor people who are suffering in the nations as a result of our foreign policy come into our country. They don't say that, but that's the truth. So all the foreigners in our midst, I see some of these people, you know, I'm thinking, go back now. However bad it was there, go back. But they'll be caught here. All the foreigners in the midst. And this is another thing that we always boasted in our history. We're a nation of immigrants, except for the American Indian. We have, therefore, built this not great country on immigration. And that's one of the things we stand proud of and all the rest and all these people that came in. And they built neighborhoods, a German neighborhood, an Irish neighborhood, and Italian, and so forth and so on. And we're proud of this and so forth and so on. We're going to have a reverse effect. And that's why I definitely bet my bottom dollar that the item mentioned in Revelation 18 that the angel picks up like a great millstone and casts it into the sea after he makes his little speech, is a Statue of Liberty. The base and all. Not just the statue on top of it. Statue just happens to be sitting up there. excuse me. Got down to lost sight of my verse here. And against all the foreigners who are in the midst of her. Now God psychologically says what it's like for a foreigner to be under this. And they will become like women. Women tend to, in crisis situations, freak out. They don't stay calm. It's the nature of the female. They will become like women. That means hysterical. A sword against her treasures. And they will be plundered. All this accumulated wealth that's in this country in all of its forms. A drought on her waters and they will be dried up. For it is a land of idols and they are mad over fearsome idols. And that basically is our lust for materialism. Look what they do on Black Friday. Fight over a toaster. That you could probably get online cheaper. But they will camp out all night to get into this store and then push each other around and act like maniacs for something they technically don't even need. For a TV. You see it. You see this greed. Anything for free. Anything they can get. They will go through all kinds. So that is where I leave mad over fearsome idols. Therefore, the desert creatures will live there along with the jackals. There's going to be a new... Well, it'll be millennial fauna and flora. Beasts and animals and plants. In other words, there will be something dwelling in the continental United States. A new order of animals. While many animals will obviously die, it's like in Chernobyl. The animals seem to be doing well there, I've read. Huh. And plants seem to be doing well. I guess they like radioactive. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. They're going to come back. This will be a big nature park full of all kinds of animals. The ostriches also will live in it, and it will never again be inhabited. That's pretty clear to me. The Bible is very clear. Doesn't mean little outposts here and a few little pioneers being able to live here and there and some people, in the hills or wherever. Or dwell in it from generation to generation. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with its neighbors, declares the Lord, no man will live there. Nor will any son of man reside in it. Behold, a people is coming from the north, and a great nation and many kings will be aroused from the remote parts of the earth. They seize their bow and javelin. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea. I'm reminded of Khrushchev. You know, the barbarian in a suit at the UN, beating his shoe on the table and saying, we will bury you. And another one saying, we will hang you and you will sell us the rope. I mean, these kind of things were said back in the day, in the height of the Cold War rhetoric. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses. These are not your usual horses. These are their big bombers. Marshaled like a man for the battle. Against you, O daughter of Babylon. Notice the phrase, daughter of Babylon. That needs to be explained too. Why daughter of Babylon? Because we're an offshoot of that kind of mentality. Like mother, like daughter. The king of Babylon has heard the report. That's the last president. About them. And his hands hang limp. Distress has gripped him. Agony like a woman in childbirth. The depiction of the final ruler. Like the final ruler of ancient Babylon. And what he was up against on that last night. Behold, one... And there is an analogy. Behold, one will come up like a lion from the thicket of the Jordan. To a perennially watered pasture. That's another phrase for America. Perennially watered pasture doesn't mean we don't have any droughts. It just means we always seem to have the rain. We always seem to have the crops. For in an instant, I will make them run away from it. And whoever is chosen, I will appoint over it. For who is like me? And who will summon me into court? They won't call me before the UN. And who then is the shepherd who can stand before me? Now, if you want to do boasting, God can boast. Nobody can stand before me. And when I determine something, in whatever degree, it's going to happen exactly. Not partially, 100%. I am God, and there is none like me. That's our God. Therefore, hear the plan of the Lord which He's planned against Babylon, and the purposes which He has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely they will drag them off. Even the little ones of the flock. Surely He will make their pasture desolate because of them. At the shout, Babylon has been seized. The earth is shaken. And the outcry is heard among the nations. Thus says the Lord, behold, I am going to arouse against Babylon, against the inhabitants of Lebkamai, the spirit of a destroyer. I will dispatch foreigners to Babylon, that they may winnow her, and may devastate her land. For on every side they will be opposed to her in the day of her calamity. Let not him who bends the bow bend it, nor let him rise up in his scale armor. That's American defensive and offensive weaponry. That will be neutralized. So do not spare her young men. Devote all her army to destruction. They will fall down, slain in the land of the Chaldeans, and pierced through in their streets. This is unconventional piercing. Not with a conventional bow and a conventional arrow, or a javelin, but with thermonuclear piercing.
They will, for neither Israel nor Judah has been forsaken by his God and the Lord of the armies, although their land is full of guilt before the Holy One of Israel. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. That will be the announcement after the rapture. Get out of America. Head somewhere. But get away. That'll be the direct will of God for every believer to relocate geographically, somewhere. I'm so happy we don't have to do that. And each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment, for this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He is going to render recompense to her. Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. That's a great figure. She has been in her history a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. Golden cup, a cup in gold indicates wealth. The cup indicates some content. But it's in the hands of the Lord, saying the destiny and the history of America is in the hand of God. We think we've determined our own thing and do our own thing and do not give him any credit. Some of the founding fathers recognize this about nations, that there is an unseen hand behind it all. They understood that. You don't hear that from our rulers today. Not even any mention of it, hardly. But what is she doing with this cup in her hand? Intoxicating all the nations. Spreading her propaganda. Her poison. Her culture. Her viewpoint. Intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are going bad. I can mention a foreign aid. The World Bank. All this business that's been going on. Nations on the dole. We destroyed Germany, built it back. We're supposed to be doing this with Iraq, but it isn't working so well. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and been broken. Wail over her. Bring balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. This is mocking. We appealed healing to Babylon, but she was not healed. We tried to heal Babylon. Doctrine being taught and people telling America to quit and turn from its evil. That's the application of this healing. But they don't want to hear what we have to say. They don't want to hear any voices about what you need to do to... It's not an economic problem, stupid. It is a spiritual problem, a moral problem. They don't want to hear this. You say anything against any of this liberalism and junk that's going on, they're against you instantly. This country could turn to God, but it won't. And could be forgiven of all of the stuff we've done. All the harm and misery we've spread all over. We applied healing to Babylon. She was not healed. Forsake her and let us each go to his own country. For her judgment has reached to heaven. Now here's another great analogy. When the judgment falls, it's like anything. When it reaches a certain point, the sins, the evil, reaches a point that will match the judgment. We're not quite there yet. We still got to do more evil. So that it will match and justify a 1 hour of one day thermonuclear destruction with no humans left alive. And nobody can come back. That's called rubbing salt in the wound. There will not be a millennial nation occupying the continental United States. And don't ask me, well, what about Canada and Mexico? Well, they're a little close, aren't they? But whatever. It says United States. Forsake her and let us each go to his own country, for her judgment has reached the heaven and towers up to the very skies. The Lord has brought about our vindication. Come and let us recount in Zion the work of the Lord our God. They'll be talking about this. And they will, and these refugees will be coming in from this country and they'll say, America's going down. It's going to be nuked and destroyed. They will be sounding this. That'll be the word. They'll be animated about it. Sharpen the arrows. Well, arrows to work, like anything, need to be sharp. So when you sharpen the arrows, that means you improve the technology of the thermonuclear weapons. They're more accurate and they're more deadly. Fill the quivers. Get lots of them. Isn't this funny? Ancient Babylon
was not overthrown. Probably not an arrow was even shot. And the archers in the Persian Empire, the ones that were noted as really good archers, they were the Medes. It's called the Medes and the Persians. There's also a third group. Slipped my mind just for a second. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the king of the Medes. The Medes prided themselves in their archery. They were good at it. The Bible talks a lot about archery. King David said, God has made me strong enough to bend a bronze bow. And when you bend it, it isn't like this shaking because it's so hard to bend. No, it's boom. So we have arrows. We have the thermonuclear last days arrows. And I said one military outfit at least has a patch, and it's a flaming arrow. American patch in the nuclear forces. It's their patch, Air Force. Isn't the Bible wonderful? Imagine reading this back any time before the development of these kinds of weapons. You'd go, what? The best we can do is launch some, you know, whatever, drop bombs or maybe early Air Force. But once these things came on, the technology has just increased. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of the Medes because his purpose against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. That's the second time we saw that. Lift up a signal against the walls of Babylon. Now these aren't the physical walls of ancient Babylon. This is our defensive, whatever we are using to defend ourselves. Our nuclear wall, or whatever you want to call it, our intercept these things. They built missiles to intercept missiles. Post a strong guard, station sentries, place a man in ambush, for the Lord has both purposed and performed while he spoke concerning the citizens of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters. There's another clue. Any nation that is Babylon has to dwell by many waters. Ancient Babylon didn't dwell by many waters. They dwelt by a famous water. It's called a river. We dwell by many waters. We relate things to the Atlantic, the Pacific, and the Caribbean. All around, water. Abundant in treasures. Your end has come. The measure of your end. The Lord of the armies has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with a population like locusts. What do locusts do? Locust hordes come in. Did you ever see a picture somebody took of a tree by a field? And you see these locusts come in, and the tree is in full leaf, and in seconds, there's not a leaf on it. They're called stripping locusts. They just strip everything. And there's so many of them. So there's another analogy. Study locusts in the Bible. And they will cry with shouts of victory over you. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom. And by his understanding he stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. And he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He runs the weather. There's your verse. Hang your hat on it. He makes lightning for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. And then this verse that we always quote, all mankind is stupid. I'm mankind. I started off stupid. All mankind is stupid. Devoid of knowledge. That's the knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge of his word. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. Nations, people have gone down. They died with their idols. Their idols couldn't help them. In our land, our idols are our materialistic acquisitions. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for the maker of all is he, and of the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of armies is his name. He says, Jesus Christ, you are my war club, my weapon of war. You people like in the world like war? People love war? All these war hawks up here? Some of them never even been in uniform. They want to bomb Iran. They want to do this. They want to do that. They run their big mouths. Hillary was one of them. You like war? We'll give you war. War, Yahweh style. And with you, this is Jesus Christ, who is God's instrument. With you I shatter nations, and with you I destroy kingdoms. With you I shatter the horse and the rider. And with you I shatter the chariot and its rider. And with you I shatter man and woman. And with you I shatter man, old man and youth. And with you I shatter young man and virgin. And with you I shatter the shepherd and his flock. And with you I shatter the farmer and his team. And with you I shatter governors and prefects. Prefix. But I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion before your eyes, declares the Lord. We always are having our nose in Israel's business. You say, well, we help Israel. We'll do all this kind of good stuff for Israel. Yeah, we are a treacherous people. We do not, you can't depend on anything. So basically, we should have stayed out of their business. Stayed out of it. The least we could have done is just hands off. We're not going to do harm, we're not going to do good. You do what you got to do. We're not your pit bull in the Middle East, okay? We're not. We're not sending our men over there to die for you to get more land. If you want to get more land, go get it. And that wouldn't be anti-Semitic. Though, I will repay Babylon, all the inhabitants. Okay, in verse 25. Behold, I am against you. How many times it says this? O destroying mountain. Large kingdoms are called mountains. Lesser entities are called hills. Who destroys the whole earth, declares the Lord. And I will stretch out my hand against you and roll you down from the crags. Your high eminent position will be removed. And I will make you a burnt out mountain. They will not take from you even a stone for a corner. No salvage. There'd be a lot of good salvage here, but it's radioactive, and that's not good. See? He says, no salvage. Mostly when things were overthrown, people come in, dig around, find stuff hidden around the ground and everything. Think of all the stuff be hidden in this country that weren't actually physically ruined by, nor a stone for foundations. But you'll be desolate forever, declares Yahweh. Lift up a signal in the land, blow a trumpet among the nations, consecrate the nations against her, summon against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. That's the Russian area. Appoint a marshal against her. Make a main guy. A main guy is going to lead this charge out of the coalition of nations that attack America. Bring up the horses like bristly locusts. Consecrate the nations against her, the kings of the Medes, their governors and their prefects. In every kind and every land of their dominion. So the land quakes and rise. For the purpose of the Lord against Babylon stand to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They stay in their strongholds. Their strength is exhausted. They are becoming like women. Their dwelling places are set on fire. The bars of her gates are broken. One courier runs to meet another and one messenger to meet another. To tell the king of Babylon that his city has been captured from end to end. From shore to shining shore. All gone. The fords have also been seized, and they have burned the marshes with fire, and the men of war are terrified. For thus says the Lord of the armies, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. At the time it is stamped firm. Yet in a little while, the time of harvest will come for her. Nebuchadnezzar, it goes back to ancient Babylon, king of Babylon has devoured me and crushed me. He has set me down like an empty vessel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has washed me away. May the violence done to me and my flesh be upon Babylon, the inhabitant of Zion will say. And may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, Jerusalem will say. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am going to plead your case. I will exact full vengeance for you. I will dry up your sea. That's the end of commerce over the ocean. Shipping, not drying up the ocean. And make her fountain dry. That's internal commerce. Beautiful how that's set up. External commerce. Trade over the seas. A lot of the stuff you're wearing, you own. It came from some country out there. Via a ship. The car perhaps you drive. I know they've spread the factories all over. But still. Babylon become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. They will roar together like young lions. They will growl like lions' cubs. When they become heated up, I will serve them their banquet and make them drunk. They will become jubilant. Now, the young lions here are not the enemy. The young lions here, I think, are the ones that push. I think a good example of this is the floor of the stock exchange. It's raucous. And all, these are the young lions, and they're all heated up, and they're trading. America will be prosperous to the end. We might even have a boom. And that further, everything's fine. And maybe God's going to use Trump to do this. I don't know. That's a wait and see thing. I mean, I know he's hated. It's a circus, isn't it? Every which way. Have you ever seen anything like this, quite like this? But it's all part and parcel of working towards this goal. Some of these things will become clear as we get closer, but some of them are very clear to me right now. They will roar like young lions. They will growl like lions' cubs. When they are heated up, I'll serve them their banquet. I'll make them drunk, that they may become jubilant and may sleep a perpetual sleep. I'm going to kill them all. That's our business class. That's the business class. Which president said, one of the lesser known ones, might have been Garfield, but don't quote me. He said, the business of America is business. That is. It's all about business. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter. They will not wake up like rams together with male goats. I'm going to wipe out her business class. You can take my word for it or not. That's what I see here about this. See, there's all these different categories in here. How Shishak has been captured. You know what Shishak is? It didn't make any sense. If you took the Hebrew alphabet and you ran it out and you did the letter, you did Babylon, and you counted the letters from the first, like your name starts, let's say your first letter in your name is a C, so it's number 3. And then you go down. If you work it backwards from the other end and see what your name would be, something unintelligible. Like whatever letter, for me, J is, going back from Z up to that point, then that make that your letter. That's what this word is in Babylon, backwards. We're the country, everything's backwards. Flipped. We're flipping things. What's up's down, down's up, right's wrong, good's bad, blah, blah, on. What's healthy, it's not healthy, and on. It's Shishak. I didn't come up with that, by the way. I'm not that clever. I have an old Bible commentary where the guy said that's what it was. He wasn't identifying it as America. He just said it as Babylon, which also has been used in the Jews in their mockery. They'd call it Babel, 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 Babel. Land of confusion. It's a land of confusion. So Shishak here. Has been captured, and the praise of the whole earth has been seized. Whoever Babylon is, it's the praise of the whole earth, where they have sung our greatness and America. And look at all the songs going to America. What was that, Neil Diamond? Some big raucous deal. He's a Jew. It just happens to be. And the praise of the whole earth has been seized, and Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon, and she has been engulfed with its tumultuous waves. Her cities have become an object of horror, and a parched land and a desert, a land in which no man lives and through which no son of man passes. I will punish Bel in Babylon. And that would take some work to get that worked out. And I will make what he has swallowed come out of his mouth. And the nations will no longer stream to him. There you go. Immigration. The nations will no longer stream to him. There's another clue. You're looking for clues. I see you're an investigator, right? And you want to get to the bottom of something. And being a good investigator, you have no prejudices, nothing. You're just going to follow where all the truth takes you. That would make you a good investigator. Well, this will offend my daughter. No. This will offend my friend. This will offend... No! That's not good investigation. That'll upset so-and-so. Upset so-and-so. It's where people, you know, in my concluding remarks, it's where people put people above God and they want to please them and they won't cross them. Ever. Even if they know they're wrong. Because it's friend, family, spouse, you name it. No, we stand up against it. If you don't, you're not worth a spit in the wind. If you're not willing to stand for the truth in the face of whatever's in front of you. That's what we're supposed to be all about. Last time I checked. And so, that'll offend people. Of course it does. That's why we're a small church. It offends people. They do not want to hear this. So, they run off and find somewhere where they can have their ears tickled. By God's grace, not here. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.